Back when I was a teenager, I went kayaking with my church's youth group. And I'd grown up canoeing with my family on the rivers of Arkansas and Oklahoma, so I assumed I'd be fine. But I'd forgotten that I was a little kid at the time when I'd gone with my family canoeing, and so I wasn't doing any of the real work of navigating the river or steering through the rapids. And it didn't help that it had rained a lot that spring, so the river that we were at was super high when my youth group showed up to go kayaking. Things seemed to be going okay at the beginning of the river, and I was navigating the waters just fine. And then we hit one of the rapids, and I couldn't find the V that I'd always been told to aim for. And somehow the tip of my kayak got caught under a rock and I flipped over. Complete submersion. I was totally disoriented. All these thoughts were running through my mind at once. How not to hit my head on the rock nearby. How to make sure I didn't lose my shorts. To figure out which way was up so I could get to oxygen. To make sure that the cute guy in the youth group didn't see all of this happen. And to try to find out where my kayak and my paddle went before they floated away. Of course, I ended up just fine. But in the moment, it was overwhelming. It was panic-inducing. Because sometimes life overwhelms us. Circumstances change, and there we are, overwhelmed, asking ourselves if there's any other way. A more sustainable way to do life, to overcome being overwhelmed. But what does it mean to feel overwhelmed? I actually looked up the definition, overwhelm. To drown beneath a large mass, check. To cover over completely, to submerge, double check. To overpower in thought, our feeling. Triple check. And when you find yourself in overwhelming circumstances, that's really what it feels like. It feels like you're drowning, like you're going under, like there's so many things coming at you all at once that you can't handle it anymore. There's just so many things that leave us feeling this way. We feel overwhelmed by the big things that happen in the world around us, the things that we don't feel like we have any control over. I get this feeling every time I read headlines or watch the news about more mass shootings, global warming, trade wars, immigration crisis, hurricanes. The list goes on and on. But we don't have to turn on the news to become overwhelmed with all that's going on in our lives. There are plenty of circumstances happening right in front of us that warrant this sense of being overwhelmed. Perhaps you've recently experienced the loss of a job or started a new one. Maybe you've just retired and you aren't exactly sure what to do next. Maybe you're experiencing struggles in marriage, grappling with some unresolved medical issues. Maybe you're having to adjust your lifestyle to take care of aging parents or welcoming in your kids into your home. Whatever the specific circumstances are in your life at the moment, the thing we hold in common is that sense of drowning, of being covered over, completely submerged. Whether it's stress, or anxiety, or exhaustion, pressure to perform, to be perfect, an unrelenting need for certainty and to be in control. It feels like we're being thrown under the waves, tossed around in the current. And this is why our scripture for today is so perfect. Because there are few situations that I can think of that would be quite as stressful and overwhelming as the one Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego find themselves in. See, King Nebuchadnezzar, he builds this gold statue and he orders everyone to kneel down and worship it. And if they don't, they'll be thrown in the fiery furnace. But when three Jews who hold high positions in Babylon don't kneel down and worship the statue, they're brought in to see the king. Nebuchadnezzar decides to give them a second chance, saying, "This time, if you don't worship it, I really will pitch you into the furnace. No questions asked. Who is this God who can rescue you from my power?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they respond to the king, "Your threat means nothing to us. If you throw us in the fire, the God we serve will rescue us. But even if it doesn't, it wouldn't make a bit of a difference, O king. We still wouldn't serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up." And so they were bound, and so they were pitched into the furnace. This is what fascinates me most about the story, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did everything right. They passed the test. They remained faithful to God, and upon the threat of death, they're thrown into the fiery furnace. It must have been a terrifying moment for them. Having taken their stand, telling the king that they would remain loyal to God no matter what happened, and then to be tied up and thrown in a furnace 7 times hotter than normal. Even the guards who were carrying them died from the extreme heat. 7 times hotter than normal. And it's an important part of the story because it shows us that even if we do everything right, even if we're the most faithful Christians that we can be, that it doesn't mean that we skip out on the fiery furnaces of life. It doesn't mean that we still don't face circumstances that overwhelm us, circumstances that cause us stress, anxiety, grief, to the point that we feel like we may never come up for air again. In fact, we may do the right thing and still be faced with a fiery furnace or one that's turned up to 7 times the heat. That means it may get 7 times hotter in a difficult marriage, 7 times hotter in a relationship with your parents or your children that's struggling, 7 times hotter in your job or your search for one. But thankfully, the story doesn't end there. In fact, after Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego get thrown into the fiery furnace, the tide begins to change, and something unexpected happens. The king spots a fourth person walking in the fire. Verses 24 and 25 read that King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up quickly, and he said to his counselors, "Was there not 3 men we threw bound into the fire?" "Yes, true, king. But I see 4 men unbound, walking in the middle of the fire, and they're not hurt, and the 4th one has the appearance of a god." Possibly an angel, possibly the figure of Christ. We're not sure. But whoever that figure is, it's most definitely the presence of God in their midst. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were only able to see this presence of God after they were thrown in the fire. It was only once that they were experiencing the heat of the flames that they were able to experience God walking around with them. Perhaps this is a lesson that we should take to heart as well. In those moments when we're at our most overwhelmed, when circumstances in our life are creating intense amount of stress and anxiety, when we're facing things that are perhaps 7 times hotter than anything we've had to go through before. Maybe we should stop praying simply, God, get me out of this. And also pray, God, help me see you in the midst of this. Because it's in those fiery furnaces of our lives that God is able to get our attention in ways that we normally aren't able to notice when everything is going well. We learn to turn to God in these difficult, overwhelming moments, relying on God for strength, for comfort, for courage, to help us get past whatever trying circumstances we're going through and make it to that other side. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they do not burn up in the furnace, but the king instead calls them out of the flames after seeing them walk around in it. Verse 26 and 27 read that Nebuchadnezzar then approached the door of the furnace of the blazing fire and said, "Servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here." And so as they came out of the fire, the counselors gathered around them and they saw that the fire had no power over their bodies. The hairs of their head were not singed. Their tunics were not harmed. They didn't even smell like fire. They didn't smell like fire. A campfire. Your clothes smell like that for days. And they come out of this fiery furnace. And the king turns to them and says, "I believe in this God." It's pretty amazing stuff. The thing is, though, this will always have circumstances in our lives that threaten to overwhelm us. Moments that feel like our kayak has just been flipped upside down. Moments where we lose track of which way is up. Moments when we feel like our oxygen is running out, like our options are limited. And so many times we face circumstances that make us feel this way, and there's really nothing we can do to change them. We don't always have control of the things happening around us or in our lives. However, the feeling of being overwhelmed is a state of mind, not a permanent condition. That feeling of being overwhelmed is a state of mind, not a permanent condition. Though it doesn't always feel like it, we have a choice as to whether we wish to allow our circumstances to overwhelm us or whether we want to be overcome being overwhelmed. And really, the determining factor as to which one we choose, to be overwhelmed or to be overcoming, is what we place our focus on. Do we choose to focus on the fiery furnace that's been heated up 7 times hotter than we've ever experienced before? Or do we focus on the presence of God walking in the fire with us? See, God never promises that our faith will prevent us from encountering any furnaces in our lives. But God does promise to be present with us as we walk through the furnaces, whatever they are. We see this promise come to fruition through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we continue to see this promise fulfilled in our own lives, as we encounter the Holy Spirit working through us and others to shine the light of God's love and compassion, even in the darkest of places. So let us remember that the key to choosing to overcome our circumstances, rather than choosing to let them overwhelm us, is deciding where our focus lies. Let us choose to focus not on the size of our problems, not of the size of the fiery furnace that we find ourselves in, but rather let us choose to focus on the size of our God, a God who is present in all things, who walks through all things with us, and shines the light of God's love toward us as we overcome all things. Amen.